Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Mem Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the top of Daf Mem Ches with the first word of the shiur at the very bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Beis, Boi Rav Papa. This is a continuation of a series of questions that are raised within the context of the kamitza, the handful of a meal offering, and the chafina, the hands full, the double hands full of the ketores, incense offering of Yom Kippur. So Rav Papa asks, Davke lekoimetz bedoifneha demona mai. If he davke is to stick the kometz, the handful of the meal offering, on the dofen, the inside wall of the kli, what is the din? So a word must be said about the taking of the kometz. As we learned in the past, you would take a handful of flour, in the case of a meal offering, from a receptacle, we'll call it from a mincha bowl, and that handful is then put into a second service vessel, the vessel that we are referring to right here in our question. The kli sheni, if you will, the second vessel that is going to contain the newly taken handful of flour. You stuck the handful of meal offering that's going to be offered on the mizbech, but you stuck it onto the inside wall of the vessel as opposed to sticking it in the normal fashion right at the bottom of the vessel. Is this considered acceptable? So there are two ways of looking at it, and we label this with our markings, Aleph, and then at the end of the line, the Odoma expression is squiggle underline. The alternative is, or possibly, Beis, the second side of the question. So do we say, Toich kli bo'inon v'ho'ika, that all that is required is that I stick the handful of meal offering into the interior of the vessel, and by sticking it on the inside of the wall of the vessel, so that is accomplished. O Dilma, or possibly Hanocha besoichoi kitikno bo'inon v'holeka, or Hanocha is to place it in the vessel kitikno in its normal way, which is in the bottom of the vessel. That is what is required, and that you did not do v'holeka, and it is lacking. Teku. So this question remains unresolved. Boi mar baravashi. The fact that you see a dashed triangle, the note on the side by the star indicates that this mekuvkav, the ein, it's mekuvkav, meaning it's a broken line, a dashed line forming the triangle. The ein zu sheila shel Rav Papa, shu hashel shel roiv hashelas bedap emelu. Since it's not Rav Papa that's asking the question, who is the author of the majority of the question, so we changed the triangle here to a dashed triangle. Boy mar baravashi. Afche lemona v'davke lakoimetz bar isei demona mahu. Here we have a crude diagram, pardon the amateurish artwork, but we have shown what the vessel might look like in its normal position, and then flipped over, the base is now on top. The base itself is a cup-like bottom, and it has its own interior. So what happened is in this case, in this question that Mar Baravashi is asking, the kli sheni into which the kometz is to be placed, you flipped over that vessel and placed the handful of meal offering into the base of the vessel, as we tried to illustrate with our crude artwork. what is the din? Hanocha b'sofa bo'inan v'ho'ika is what is required, is placing the handful into the interior of the vessel. Well, this is the interior. There, it has its own interior, so I've accomplished that. V'ho'ika, and that is oi dilma, or possibly hanocha ketiknoi bo'inan v'leka, that I have to place it in its normal way, and that is lacking here, teku. So this remains unresolved. Boy, Rav Papa, Maloi Chafonov She'omru. Here, and as we mentioned in the past, you have to be careful in these dapim, this daf and the previous daf, where the sugya flips back and forth between the topic of a kmitza, a handful of meal offering, versus the double hands full of the incense offering. So here we have a question concerning the incense offering. Malo chafonov. It's the taking of the spice in a cupped hands full fashion. Mechukos oy gedushos. Is it a level amount, leveled? The cupped handfuls will contain incense, but it's, and the incense itself is a powdery substance. It's ground very finely. Is it leveled, or is it gedushos, heaping? The Gemara will answer, actually, that it's neither, and you'll see shortly. Amale Rabbi Abba, the Ravashi Toshmas. Rabbi Abba tells Ravashi that the resolution of this question is found in the following source, Toshma. Come and hear. Malo Chafonov Shamru. The Malo Chafonov that the Torah expects the Kohen Gadol to take, to gather as far as the spice for the incense, lo mechukos, it's not level, velo gedushos, nor is it heaping, elo tfufos, it's rounded. When we speak about taking a teaspoon, for example, of sugar, so you can have a level teaspoon, a heaping teaspoon, or a rounded teaspoonful. That's tfufos. You can see that we have a bracket, and there's a bracket length indicator, the dashed vertical dash dotted line, and on the side there's a note by the star. Masha mufia b'sugrei mehave hakdoma l'sheila habol shel Rav Papa. All of the information in the brackets essentially serves as an introduction to Rav Papa's question that follows the bracketed section. So now that you know that point of information, we'll start with the beginning of the bracketed section. All of this is a lead up to the next triangle. Tanan Hossam, the Taneg source tells us in Maseches Zvochim regarding the gathering of the blood of an animal offering for sprinkling purposes. It says, Nishbach Adam al Haritzba v'osvoi posel. If an animal sacrifice was slaughtered and the blood spilled directly onto the floor without being received in a service vessel beforehand, and after spilling directly onto the floor, he gathered the blood up and tried to use it for the sacrificial sprinkling on the altar, well, it's unfit. It's pusul. Min hakli al haritzpa v'osfo kosher. If the blood spilled from the vessel, from the vessel into which the blood was received initially, and then spilled onto the floor, once again, it spilled from the vessel, from the receiving vessel onto the floor, and then gathered up, kosher, that is acceptable. Mino hani mili de tonu rabbonon. What is the basis of this teaching? So the Gemara gives us a Tanaic source with a pasuk. It says velokach midam hapar. And by the way, take note of the fact that this is a long answer. The pasuk says, and you shall take from the blood of the cow. And from this we learn, midam hanefesh velo midam ha'or velo midam hatamtsis. The expression midam ha'par means from the blood of the sacrifice, not all of the blood. So we're excluding blood from the skin and blood from the what's called blood. Dam hatamsis, dam is blood. Tamsis is that which oozes out of the animal after its life breath is totally gone. So it's the earliest blood exusion, and the final blood exusion is not what he is expected to gather. The pasuk says midam hapar, and that equals dam mehapar yikablenu. You should be receiving the blood directly from the cow, and not receiving the blood from the floor. The isalka daitoch midam hapar. If you were to think that this expression midam hapar equals midam vafilu miktas dam, just part of the blood, in other words, just enough for sprinkling, but you don't have to gather all of the life blood from the animal. That's not true. Va'omar Rav Yehuda, hamakabel tzorech shikabel es kol domo shel par. The receiver has to receive all of the blood of the par. And when we say all of the blood, it means all of the life blood of the animal, not the dam ha'or and the dam ha'tamsis that we already excluded. But he has to receive all of the life, all of the life blood of the animal. Shenemar ve'es kol dam ha'par yishpoich el yisoid mizbeach. The pasuk emphasizes, we want you to gather all of the blood. So what does midam hapar mean? Midam, the mem, usually indicates only a part of. It doesn't mean that over here, though. Elo shma mino amai midam hapar. So what does midam hapar then really mean? Dam mehapar yikablenu. There's a little bit of a letter movement that takes place. The mem preceding the word dam, midam, that mem is taken off and attached to the following word, hapar, and you get dam mehapar yikablenu. That means that the blood must be received into a vessel directly from the neck of the animal, and not having the blood spill on directly onto the floor and then gathering up the blood. V'kosovar gurin u'mosifin v'dorshin. This approach is a function of gurin is subtracting or reducing the letter from one word and attaching it u'mosifin and adding it to the next word and then explaining. That, by the way, is something that only the oral tradition can license. One cannot approach words in the Torah on his own and come to these conclusions. So this section of Gemara in the brackets is basically telling us that when it comes to the blood from an animal offering, the blood that's going to be used for sprinkling on the Mizbeach, that blood must be received from the neck of the animal into a receiving vessel. Once that happens, so then you've done a proper Kabbalah Sadam. However, the blood that flows from the neck of the animal directly onto the floor and then you gather it up, that would be unacceptable. So far, that's as far as blood is concerned. What about the Ktoris, the incense offering? Now, the incense obviously has nothing to do with an animal. Boy, Rav Papa, Nispazir haktoris mimoloi chafonov mahu. What is the din if the incense scatters from his hands full? He took the initial required hands full from the machta, the bowl that served or that contained or stored the ktoris. And that hands full then scattered on the floor. What is the din? Can he gather it up from the floor and use it or not? Yodoi kitzaver be'imodomi upsula. Do we look at his hands full as the neck of the animal? And then what you have is, in the parallel, then you would have the incense which would be parallel to the blood, scattering from the neck, and here in this case from his hands, onto the floor, and that would not be acceptable. You couldn't gather it up and use it. Oy Dilma, kikli shores domi velo psula. Or do we look at his hands full as a service vessel? And in the case of the blood, we said that if the blood went into a service vessel and then spilled onto the floor, you could gather it up. And in the case of the incense, we would then say velo psula, and it wouldn't be disqualified. Teku, so this remains unresolved. Boy, Rav Papa. Another question, and the question lasts a couple of lines. You'll notice the long question marking. Rav Papa asks, Chishev b'chafinas k'tores mahu. The term chishev, it's just one word, means any thought. But it has to do with improper thoughts relating to time and place with regard to sacrificial offerings. Here, he took his hands full of incense with the intention of offering it the next day, as opposed to today on Yom Kippur. He intends, while he's taking his hands full, he intends that this is going to be used tomorrow. Does that have an effect? Mahu. Mi amrinan, aleph, o, dilma, o, there's not a dilma word here, but later, o, is squiggle underlined, bays. Two sides of the question. Mi amrinan, do we say yolif moloi moloi mi mincha, that we learn a word comparison from the topic of a meal offering. Mahos mahanya be machshava, just like over there by the meal offering. If while taking the handful you have an intention to offer the handful the next day, that would be a ruination of the meal offering. Mahanya be machshava, the machshava, the intent, has an effect. Hochanami, so too here by the incense, mahanya bo machshava, the improper thought that you have would have an effect. Oi loi, or do we say no, that it might be that by the meal offering the improper machshava has an effect, not so with regard to the incense, the taking of the hands full. The answer, and the answer will last itself a number of lines. Omale Rav Simi bar Ashi l'Rav Papa toshma. Rav Simi says, well, listen to the following source. Hoisif Rabbi Akiva hasoiles v'haktoires v'halavoyno v'agicholim. Rabbi Akiva adds to a list the following items. He adds the flour and the ktores, the incense, lavona. The lavona is a spice that is that accompanies the lechem aponim that's offered on Shabbos, and gicholim are coals that were sanctified in a service vessel. Shim noga tvul yom b'miktsosan. If a tvul yom, who is a person who had been tomei, and at the end of his tuma period, he went into the mikveh, immersed himself in the mikveh, which is necessary for all forms of tumah, and prior to sundown, which is the final stage of his tumah, of his we'll call it his purification process. Prior to that, namely after the mikveh immersion and prior to sundown, he is classified as a tful yom. A tful yom is a low level of tumah. And this tful yom touches the source says shim nogat tful yom b'miktsasan poslas kulan. If he touches even part of these items that were just mentioned, solas k'toras levon and gicholim, that are in a service vessel, if he touches part of them, so he ruins all of them. This halacha shows us that these items, including the k'toras, that they were in a service vessel, they gain something called kedushas haguf, inherent sanctity. Because they have inherent sanctity, so the tvul yom can affect them. They become sensitive to impurity. So even a tful yom was a rather low-level form of tuma. By touching even part of the contents of the kli, of the vessel, the entire contents becomes ruined. So we see that there is kedushas haguf on these items. Once it has kedushas haguf, not only does it become sensitive to, we'll say, a contact tuma, but it also becomes sensitive to time. Kos salka daitach, Gemara says, the assumption that we make is as follows: the pasal tful yom, from the fact that a tful yom ruins the these items when they're in a kli, after they've gained kedushas kli, sanctity as a result of being in a service vessel. Poslo nami lina, they become sensitive to being left beyond their time. So that if something was supposed to be offered by day and it wasn't offered upon the onset of night, so the items become unfit. Or if something were acceptable through the night, by the next morning they will become puzzled. The term for become puzzled because of the passage of time is lina, left over, literally slept over. Umidalina pasla, and from the fact that lina, which is a time phenomenon, results in their ruination, pasla nami machshava. We would then conclude that even thoughts concerning time will also ruin them. So that if the question had been, he took the chafinu, he took the hands full of ktoris with an improper thought concerning time, would that have an effect? The answer is yes, it would have an effect. It would ruin the chafina of ktoras. Boy Rav Papa. And we continue now with another question at the top of Amud Beis. Chishev b'chatias kechole mahu. He has an improper mindset concerning time while he is digging out the coals for the incense offering. Mahu, does that have an effect? And Rashi has two lashonos, the first lashon being that will that ruin the ktores, will that ruin the incense? The second lashon of Rashi is, will that ruin the coals? But for our purposes, will that have any effect? This machshava, this thought, this improper intention, while digging out the coals. So the analysis again in two sides, two parts. Machshirei mitzvah kemitzvah domu, oi loi. Do we look at elements that are accessory to a mitzvah? Here, the primary mitzvah is the incense itself. The accessory are the coals, which enable the incense to be burnt. So do machshirei mitzvah, these accessory items to the mitzvah, have the status of the mitzvah itself? Domu means similar to, is it similar to the mitzvah itself or not? Teku, so this remains unresolved. We have a new question. The question itself is rather simple. Boy minei meirav sheshes. Holocha besmoil mahu. Holocha is the carrying, and here we're talking about the carrying of the blood of an animal sacrifice after it's slaughtered. So the blood is received in a mizrach, which is the name of the service vessel, and it's then carried. And the term for carrying the blood is holocha. However, in this case, the kohen carries it in his left hand. That's holocha b'smol mahu. When we know that almost all sacrificial activity is to be done using your right hand, here he does it with his left hand. What is the din? The Gemara has a structure that we provide a brief introduction. On the side, you can see we have, by the starred comment, there's a mivne note, and we indicate hakdoma in parentheses. And what we've written is as follows. Stage one is Rav Sheshes Nish'al Im Hoylochas Dam B'Smol Kosher. That's the question that's posed to Rav Sheshes. Who one the kosher? Rav Sheshes will answer that it is acceptable. The answer is based on a source. Stage three, and this on Mem Tesom and Aleph, HaGemara Takshe Makshe Tiyufta Mimoker Zor Ve'Oinu V'Kulei. The Gemara will raise a challenge to Rav Sheshes' answer from a source beginning with the words Zor Ve'Oinu. We don't have to translate that right now, but that's the name of the source, Zor Ve'Oinu. With that, the basic discussion ends. In other words, Rav Sheshes had given an answer, but the answer is rejected by the Gemara at the top of Mem Tes Amud Aleph. Stage 4. Achar kach, a Gemara on daf Mem Tes, beketa shemofia besagrayim, in a section that will appear in brackets, tameha eich yitochen Rav Sheshes itoisav mimokar, Zarva Onay. The Gemara will be wondering, how could Rav Sheshes have been challenged from that source that we called Zarva Onay? Shehu atzmo hikshmimeno b'diyun acher al Rav Chista. In a different discussion, Rav Sheshes himself had asked a question on something that Rav Chista said. And Rav Sheshes' question was based on that very source that's being used to knock off Rav Sheshes. HaGemara Oino, the Gemara will answer, Deha de Yochol Rav Sheshes Lahakshes Men Rav Chista, the fact that Rav Sheshes was able to ask his question on Rav Chista, Hainu Rak La'achar HaGemara Shelonu Shu'atzmo Shoma B'tiyufta Shiksha Olav. That's only after he himself, Rav Sheshes himself, heard the question raised against him. In other words, only after Rav Sheshes heard the question that challenged his own approach, through that he discovered this source, then he was able to use that source to ask on Rav Chista. So, let us now look into the Gemara, bearing in mind that we have the map already laid out. The Gemara asks, we'll start from the second line from the top at the dashed triangle. Boy imine, me Rav Sheshes, the question was asked of Rav Sheshes. Hoylocha b'smo mahuk, the carrying of the blood to the Mizbeach, while carrying it, while the Kohen carries it in his left hand, what is the din? Is that acceptable? Omar Lahu Rav Sheshes, Tanisua. Rav Sheshes responds to the questioner. He says, Tanisua, derive your answer from the following Tanaic source. It says, Notal es hamachto biyaminoi ves hakaf besmolo. We see, we dash on the hakaf besmolo, we see carrying done in the left hand. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur carries the incense. He has the pan of coals in his right hand and the bowl of incense in his left hand. So Rav Sheshes is answering that it's kosher, it's acceptable to do avoda in the left hand. We have a bracketed section. The bracketed section is, brackets here are designed for an initial skipping in order for you to see the basic flow of the Gemara. The Rav Sheshes' question is now challenged at the top of Mem Tes Omen Aleph. And if we skip to that, we read Meisve, Zor Ve'oinein, Shikor Balmum. These are four problematic individuals. A Zar is a non-Kohen, and Onain is someone who that day a close relative of his died and he hasn't buried them yet. Shikor is someone who's intoxicated. Balmum, a blemished individual. A Kohen who was blemished. Bekabola Ubaholoch Ubezriko Posel. In any of these actions, receiving the blood, the carrying of it, or its sprinkling, if they do it, the korban is unfit, posel, it's disqualified. V'chein yoshev, v'chein smoil, posel. Now we dashed underline smoil. It says smoil is posel while doing any of these activities, including holocha. So you have a Tanaic source that says explicitly that smoil is unfit. Tiufta. This is a rejection of Rav Sheshis' answer from beforehand that he said that Smoil b'holacha is kosher. Here we see that Smoil is unfit. Let us go back to the previous Omid. We had a bracketed section that we initially skipped. The Gemara in the brackets, after hearing Rav Sheshis' answer that Smoil is kosher, and Rav Sheshis' answer was based on the incense offering, the Gemara asks, why couldn't Rav Sheshis have answered from an alternative source? The Gemara will then answer why it didn't do that, why Rav Sheshis didn't use this alternative source. So the Gemara asks, in the brackets on Mem Ches Amid Beis, V'nifshot lehu mehadisnan, why doesn't Rav Sheshis answer the question of Holocha B'smoil from the following source? And this source has to do with the carrying of the limbs of an animal to the Mizbeach. And it says, Horegel shel yamin b'smoil ubeis oira lachutz. The regel shel yamin means the right leg of the animal. B'smoil means in the left, it's carried in the left arm of the Kohen who's carrying it, ubeis oira lachutz, and with its skin facing outwards. Well, you see over here, the skin, where the point that the leg is severed is facing the Kohen, and the rest of the leg that's covered with skin is facing outwards. That's the more reasonable, more proper, more honorable way of carrying it. So what we see, though, here is we dash the line b'smol, and that's the right way to do halacha. So couldn't Rav Sheshis have answered, if the question was being asked from the blood of the animal offering, so answer from another aspect of the animal offering, namely the carrying of its limbs, and it's carried in his left hand. The Gemara says, Imehosam, had that been the source, had that been the only source of information, Hava Amino, I would have thought that, well, there we can be lenient and accept left hand. Hani mili holocha delo ma'akfa kapar. That's when you're dealing with the carrying of something that's not binding, that's not essential. Namely, the carrying of the limbs is something that's not binding for the effectiveness of the sacrifice. In a situation, for example, that after the blood was sprinkled and all of the limbs got lost, the owner who brought the sacrifice nevertheless fulfills his requirement, because the offering of the limbs is not a binding aspect of sacrificial offering. So I would have thought, since it's not me'akev, it's not binding, therefore we can be lenient. Aval ha'ilocha de'makfa kapara. However, an essential element of the sacrifice, as is the case with the blood, that's ma'akev the kapara. Without the blood sprinkling, so there's no credit given to the to having brought a sacrifice. So something like that, something that's essential, I would have thought that smoil is not good. Lo, meaning it wouldn't be kosher b'smol. Komash malon, so we quote the source dealing with the incense, which is an integral part of the Yom Kippur service, that the left hand was used. And with that, Rav Sheshis answered the question. That's Rav Sheshis' answer. However, the Gemara continues at the top of Mem Tes Amud Aleph, Meisvei. We challenge Rav Sheshis. Zor v'oinen shikor v'almum v'kabola u'baholochu v'zrika posel v'chein yoshe v'chein smoil posel. Well, here you have a source, and we've dashed underlined smoil, and we've dashed underlined holocha. We're showing you that holocha b'smol is unacceptable from a Tanaic source. Tiufta, this is a repudiation or a refutation of Rav Sheshis' answer. The Gemara, noticing that Rav Sheshis is refuted by this source, Zor v'onein, starts to wonder, how is it that Rav Sheshis was refuted from this Tanaic source when we see in the bracketed section that follows, which also is essentially, most of it we see a long question marking. The bracket, by the way, this bracketed section is bracketed off only because it's, as we mentioned in our introduction on Mem Ches Omid Beis, it's somewhat tangential. As far as the basic sugya is concerned, Halacha B'Smol, the question poster of Sheshes, his answer, and it being refuted, we finished that. Here, there's it's a tangential type discussion. After the brackets, a new question is posed, and you can see the triangle featuring that. So here we have this tangential question raised on the discussion we just had. How is it that Rav Sheshes was refuted from a source that we see that Rav Sheshes was seemingly aware of by the fact that Rav Sheshes used this source to refute a point made by Rav Chisda? So let's see the question. The Ha Rav Sheshes, who the Oisva? It's odd. Rav Sheshes himself raised a question using this very source. So we're sounding maybe a bit repetitious, but how is it that Rav Sheshes was refuted by a source that he himself used to refute Rav Chisda? The Amarle Rav Sheshes, the Amore de Rav Chisda. Rav Sheshes once mentioned to the spokesman of Rav Chisda. Spokesman is someone who, when a Rav would be saying a Torah lecture, he would say it over to a person in a somewhat quiet fashion, and that person had an audible voice. He would say it over to the public. That's the Amora. So Rav Sheshes said to the spokesperson for of Rav Chisda, "Boy, minei Rav Chisda, halacha bezarmau. Ask of Rav Chisda. Do me a favor. Ask Rav Chisda, what is the din of a non-kohen who does the halacha process? Halacha is the transportation, the carrying of that which needs to be carried. In this case, the carrying of the blood of a sacrifice from the slaughtering site to the altar." Omar Lei, Rav Chisda answers, "Kshera umikra misayeni." It's acceptable. A zar is able to do that, and I have a posuk upon which to base my answer. Misayeni means it helps me out. The posuk says, "Vayishchatu haPesach, vayizruku haKohanim miyadam, valavim mafshitim." The korban Pesach was slaughtered, and the Kohanim enter the picture. Where do they enter the picture? At the point that Zrika needs to be done. So the Pasuk says, Vayizriku HaKohenim Mi Yodam. In other words, the Kohenim took the blood that needs to be sprinkled from their hands, from the hands of people who are not Kohanim. And the Levim do the skinning of the sacrifices. The main point, though, is the word Mi Yodam, which we dashed underline, meaning the Kohanim took the blood from the non-Kohen's hands. So who did the Hoylacha? Who carried the blood from the slaughter site to the Mizbeach? Obviously, someone who's not a Kohen. Umoisiv Rav Sheshes, upon hearing Rav Chisda's answer that a Zar is kosher for Hoylacha, Rav Sheshes asked from the source we saw just above, Zar v'oinein shikor ba'umum b'kabola u'b'hoylocha u'bizrika posel v'chein yoshe v'chein smoil posel. What we have to extract from this source that we explained already above is what we dot underline, the word zar, hoylocha, posel. So that is a challenge to Rav Chisda's ruling. So what we see, though, is Rav Sheshes fully aware of this source. And by the way, in this source, mention was made of Smoil being unfit as well. So how is it that Rav Sheshes allowed himself to be refuted by a source that he himself was aware of? The Gemara answers that in truth, there's an issue of chronology here. Bosar deshom'a hadar oisva. That means after Rav Sheshes heard the source in the context of his own when he himself was being refuted, that is the point at which he became aware of the source. Once he became aware of the source, then he was able to use that against Rav Chisda. The Gemara asks, regarding the Holocha Bazar issue, Rav Chisda, when he said that a zar is acceptable, Rav Chisda was based on a verse, wasn't he? How then can you resolve the verse that Rav Chisda cited with the Tanaic source that says Holocha Bazar is unfit? But did not Rav Chisda cite a pasuk? The Gemara answers, the Ovid Maisa Itztaba. Itztaba is a pillar. The non-Kohanim in this story were not responsible for the blood's movement whatsoever. So we'll explain as follows. The animal, the Korban Pesach in the Pasuk, was slaughtered. At that point, a Kohen received the blood. And the Kohen carried the blood in the direction of the altar. There was a non-Kohen that was standing there, and for whatever reason, the Kohen who was carrying the blood needed to put the blood down for a moment, and he put it in the hands of a non-Kohen who was motionless, so that the non-Kohen didn't move the blood any closer to the altar than it had been at the time it was placed in his hands. He stood there in a stationary, motionless fashion. Then the Kohen who was going to do the sprinkling of the blood took it from this motionless non-Kohen and continued carrying it, or continued at that point doing the sprinkling. So that as far as the Pasuk is concerned, there's no evidence in the Pasuk that that Holocha was done by the non-Kohen. That, with that in mind, the challenge to Rav Chisda's ruling stands, that a zar is not allowed to do the Holocha. So at this point then, we just to review the last question our Gemara was dealing with, namely Holocha B'Smoil, the answer to that is, unlike Rav Sheshes tried to say, but rather Holocha B'Smoil is unfit. As far as Yom Kippur is concerned, well, as we saw earlier, there is no other way to do that particular service. Therefore, you can't ask a question from the Yom Kippur case to other activities. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.